Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
For 25 years, The Undertaker has walked among the darkness and the light. He had no equal. They all feared him. Grown men would tremble at just the sound of his name.
When the Reaper calls your name, there is no apology.
The apocalypse showed its face.
When the Reaper calls your name, there is no remorse.
Destruction, desolation, vengeance and fear rode in, and with him they carried out the soul of the mighty Undertaker. Can you feel that? That wicked, wicked, horrible feeling is in the air tonight. Can you feel it?
The hounds of hell are baying for your soul, and the gates of hell are opening and welcoming you to your eternal damnation.
The demise of the Undertaker has become my resurrection.
Your name has been called. You will never rest in peace.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
I remember doing the time war, drinking those moments when the blackness would hit me and the void would be calling. Let's do the time war again. Let's do the time war again.
It's just a jump to the left.
Welcome everybody to The Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio.
I just did the whole intro and I was on mute. Damn it. I did a whole intro.
I'm sitting here waiting and waiting and there's nothing. Do we need to do a take two?
No, we do not need to do a take two. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Take a shot. The host screwed up the entire intro of the show. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. I screwed up a lot. We host the show together. It's Thursday night. There's football. There's wrestling. Saturday is Halloween, which means one thing. It's the spooktacular. And that's all we do is a little Halloween theme, you know. Like you do.
Like you do. But we have, I guess, technically the topics we're talking about tonight have a Halloween theme to them. Kind of.
Well, we're going to be talking a lot of Taker.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking a lot of Wyatts.
Yeah, you've been warned. You can follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Word, at Rack Radio Show. Interact with us live at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com. That's how you can join in the conversation. And yeah, hopefully you're listening on TuneIn or on the websites I just mentioned, because we are live and talking about things. And and all that fun stuff. You gotta open a Halloween show with the time warp.
It's tradition. It's standard. You know, how can you not open a show with Rocky Horror? It's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
Come on, man.
By God, it's Halloween. Imagine little Wyatt's running around.
All angel-faced and chubby-cheeked. So we're going to get into that because, well, we don't have a lot of news, but there's some stuff that's happened over the, you know, past week, especially today, that, well, we feel inclined to talk about, especially since it's the Halloween show, and I like to talk about Bray Wyatt a lot. It consumes me.
It has consumed her life.
It has consumed my life. Damn him. So, I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at pwmedia.com and tnasylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, we have to talk about some of the biggest news of the week, and we're going to preface this, and it's going to sound really wrong, but based on what Bray Wyatt's been saying, since he owns the Undertaker's soul, the rest of the Undertaker is going to be joining him in Europe for SmackDown.
Yes, as we've listed in our rundown, the body of the Undertaker is headed to the European SmackDown on this November in a couple of weeks because they need to sell some tickets, so why not drag the carcass of the Undertaker to Europe for SmackDown? It just basically continues the whole storyline with Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker gearing up for Survivor Series, which is 25 years of The Undertaker to the date, which if you listen to this show on a regular basis, we've been saying for a while, hey, wouldn't it be cool if The Undertaker were there on the date for his anniversary for Survivor Series?
Somebody's going to have to hold on to me because Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker are going to be in the same ring together at the same time in front of me, and it's just, it's going to be ugly.
It's going to be ugly.
There's going to be ugliness that just, yeah, you trust me. If you watch that show, you will hear me scream.
This is a fact.
This is a fact. You will hear me scream. We'll not be able to talk for 3 days. You will hear me scream. But yeah, so WWE needs to sell tickets. John Cena's out. Randy Orton's out. And Taker did say he wanted to work more dates. So, Vince and the gang are more than happy to accommodate that request.
They're taking them right up on the offer. It's like, you want to come out? Okay, cool. We're going to send you to, you, we're going to have you, your body dragged to Europe. You're going to go show up at SmackDown. Yeah, it's pretty cool. By the way, I just got to do this for a second. Hey, news sites out there, that's not PW Mania related. Because PW Mania doesn't do stupid headlines like this. One headline I saw today, The Undertaker is not on social media. No kidding. No kidding he's not on social media.
You think?
But this was a news headline today. The Undertaker is not on social media. We've got many inquiries of whether The Undertaker is on Facebook or Twitter. He is not on either. Though I would love to live in a world where The Undertaker tweeted.
No, because it would probably be the most, like, boring Twitter ever.
It would be the Eric Rowan Twitter.
It would be the Eric Rowan Twitter where he just philosophically spouts stuff and, you know, makes no sense whatsoever. But it would be amazing.
It would be amazing. Just once. One tweet. But he's not on social media. Just making that clear to people. If that wasn't very clear enough beforehand. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. So just a couple quick notes. Like I said, we don't have a lot of news. It was announced that some people who we had previously reported had reported to the Performance Center have now officially signed. This includes several Tough Enough contestants as well as some outsiders that have all now signed with WWE and have officially reported to the training, or I should say Performance Center for duty, as it were. And the list of names are
Mata, former Tough Enough competitor, 6'6", 275. Christopher Atkins from Melbourne, Australia, 6'6", 250. Daria from Los Angeles, Tough Enough competitor, 5'7". Cesar Bonani from Brazil, competed in the Brazilian Wrestling Federation as a 3-time state champion in the football league in Brazil. He was named the best tight end. He's fluent in Portuguese. Thank you for the profile. Josh from Tough Enough, the winner. Patrick Clark, who we talked about last week, is officially signed. Gabrielle, trained under Angel Armini at MIAW Wrestling and performed as an extra on Monday Night Raw on SmackDown in September of 2014. She's a former Ford model.
Hey.
Or he, actually. He. Kind of, it's a he. Gabrielle, I thought it was a he. Anyway, it was a she. So it's a he.
Which means it's actually Gabriel. Not Gabrielle. It's Gabriel.
What? Okay. It's a he. Anyway. Christopher Gerard, Dallas Harper. Probably have to change the name.
Yeah.
And then do name Adrian from Lebanon. Sarah Lee. Zizi.
It makes me happy about Zizi.
And Amanda, as we mentioned, and a few other people have been signed as well. Richard Swan from Dragon Gate USA. To name a few, the full list is at WWE.com. So yeah, they've signed a bunch of people, and now they're going to be announcing a bunch of people. Whenever they sign, they'll be on WWE.com, because it's apparently a thing now. So there you go. Bunch of people signed, because they need some bodies, and we may see these people again, we may not. You gotta make the cut at the Performance Center. It's hard to do.
It's very hard to do because you get thrown into a group of 70 or so, and you start from the bottom and work your way up, and only the best rise to the top. And, well, the best go on NXT and then eventually make it to the main roster. So we'll see who really has it and who doesn't. And that's, you know, in terms of the tough enough people, that's kind of what we were saying is, especially as the show went on, is it's like, this isn't the real test. The real test is whoever goes to the Performance Center, and then the real talent's gonna rise.
Pretty much, yeah. So we'll see who will make it, who doesn't, and if we see any of these people again, it's on them now.
Yeah, it is on them. Just a couple quick injury notes. Rusev is injured. He tore his pec muscle in a match with Cesaro, I believe?
Neville? I believe it was Neville. Yeah, it was Neville at the main event tapings.
So, very unfortunate, sad to hear that. So he's gonna be out for a little bit of time.
He it was a bicep tendon rupture. It's the official diagnosis.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, when I read it, I went, oh, that one hurts. But he's only slated to be out 3 to 4 weeks, which is good, which is lucky, honestly.
Yeah, and, you know, gets him time to sort of reset him and then bring him back, potentially either at Survivor Series or after Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And get him going again.
Get him going again, which was, you know, when it came to Eric Rowan, where he completed the tour, his tendon. So, yeah. So, a rupture, he'll be able to recover, and he'll be fine. But, yeah. There were reports coming out where he was flipping out after as the referee stopped the match. He's like, but I guess he didn't want the match to stop, but it's like, you just did something to your arm, dude. You're hurt. Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Calm yourself.
Yeah. So that's one injury. What's the other injury we have to report?
Well, the other injury that we have to report isn't necessarily an injury. It's more that, well, somebody had to have neck surgery, and he's a sort of important fellow.
He's a real man's man.
He's a real man's man. Mr. Regal, the commissioner of NXT, general manager, whatever you want to call him. I don't know what his official title is.
He's the general manager of the NXT show, and he's a coach. He's a coach in NXT.
Okay.
At the Performance Center.
There's your title. Had to have neck surgery this past week? Weeks ago?
He just had, in 2014, he had a neck operation, right?
Right.
And he was going under for an MRI just to see if he can clear, because he wants to actually get back in the ring and mess around with the kids down in NXT just to see what he can do. Teach him something. And, well, they found more damage in the back of his neck that needed to be taken care of. That surgery that went through in front of his neck. The one in the back, so there's a lot more work involved and a lot more healing in the muscle in the back of neck. It was my C3, C4, C5, and C6 vertebrae. So they cleaned it all out, got rid of all the calcium deposits. Now he's got all done. Now he just got to heal up and he'll be fine. Took over an hour, but he'll be all right. And this injury happened back in 1993.
Which tells you exactly how long he's been suffering with it. That's insane.
Yeah, he said he hadn't slept in 20 years. He would sleep a couple of hours a night, and he went to see a specialist that he could never find out why. He got this surgery last year, and he's actually been able to sleep.
I would hurt someone. I would legit hurt someone.
The timetable for his recovery is doing nothing for a while, but he'll be able to walk in the next couple of weeks, and then he'll go on from there. He will be in the UK this December with NXT, though. There's no question about it. He just won't be wrestling. But that wasn't part of the plan to begin with. He'll be at all the shows, and it'll probably be a 3 to 4 weeks where he can... So there will just be probably 3 to 4 weeks where he can't fly long distance.
Right.
So he can't go to TV in November with the guys, but in December he'll be there. So that's good. So best wishes to William Regal. See, that's what happens. You go in for a little checkup and bam, you find more problems, you get them solved, and he'll be good to go. It's always good.
But now he's fixed, and we might get to see him wrestle again.
We may get to see him wrestle. I would love to see him get in the ring with some of the NXT people from time to time.
Oh my god. I would love to see him get in the ring with some of the main roster people. Regal versus Cesaro.
Didn't they do that match in NXT?
I'm not sure. I know they did a whole feud between Regal and Ambrose. I would love to see them do that again.
I remember, yeah, they did a match on the Christmas episode in 2013 of Regal and Cesaro in NXT.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Apparently it was like a 20-minute match.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Do the thing.
So, there you go. So, there's a quick injury update for everybody.
And we have to talk about a future injury update because, well, Ronda Rousey came out and said that she wanted to be the next Divas Champion or Divas Champion in general, which means the entire Divas Division will be dead.
I like this. I really like the sound of this. She says she at some point she's going to retire from MMA. She wants to be the MMA, the UFC champion. She wants to be a judo champion. She wants to win an Olympic gold medal. And she wants to win the Divas Championship. She wants to be the baddest of all badass women in the history of women, basically.
She has my my support. Get it, girl.
I already think she's already the baddest woman in the baddest women in the baddest history of women. Or whatever.
You know, I wouldn't mess with her.
No.
I wouldn't mess with her.
No.
She'd be like, oh, okay, you want that? Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, Charlotte's like, come on. And Hunter tweeted out something to the effect, we'll leave the light on for you at the Performance Center. You can come here anytime you want.
Honestly, if they signed Rousey after she decides to retire from MMA, I would be in for this. I would be so in for this because if you think about the way that the Divas division is turning over, they could do a lot with her.
Right. And her MMA career in UFC is only going to be another couple of years.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't plan on staying around long term there because competition is very
limited
there. So once she runs through everybody, what else is there for her to do? And she's going to get in all our fights. And then she has ambitions to do other things. And she wants to come back to WWE in some fashion, whether it's for WrestleMania, which is looking doubtful at this point in the capacity we were thinking. I still expect her to be there for something. But yeah.
Well, she's planning for the future. She understands that she's only going to get so much out of MMA, and she's only going to make so much money out of MMA. And if you've seen her, she's doing her best to cross over, and she's doing it extremely well. She's in movies. She's doing talk shows. She's in commercials. She's doing fights. She's showing up in various forms of media all over the place, and she's making herself a household name. She's setting herself up for the future because she gets that, yeah, I can stay a fighter, and I can just stay a fighter, or I can see the popularity that I have right now and I can get everything I can out of it before it's over.
Right.
And here's the thing, she has the potential to set herself up for the rest of her life. And if that's the case, get it. Go for it. Do it.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. Don't let anybody stand in your way. Not that she does.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't let anyone stand in her way, no.
Which is awesome.
Right?
I wish I was half as brave as she is, man.
I think everyone does, men and women.
Yeah, but so, yes. In for this, sign me up, totally in, do the thing, Rhonda, do the thing.
You got our support.
You have the support of the rack.
That means anything to you.
If that means anything, not that she even knows we exist, but from one girl to another, I support you. Do it.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. And kind of last on the news, quick note, Kurt Angle has signed a deal with Bellator. Initially, this was thought that he was going to fight, he was going to announce, nobody's really sure what was going on. Turns out, Angle has signed with Bellator to sign stuff. That's right, he signed a deal to appear at their fan fest and sign autographs for like 3 days.
And he's going to appear on their upcoming show in some capacity doing something.
Don't let him fight.
Don't let him do the fighting. Though there's always talk of Kurt Angle versus Ken Shamrock. Just saying what the talk is.
No. Just sign your stuff. That's all you have to do.
Nobody
needs to get hurt in this, especially you.
So, the main topic of the show is going to be Bray Wyatt, Undertaker, and Kane. But before we do that, I have to divert us. We got to talk a little bit of SmackDown.
We do have to talk a little bit of SmackDown.
And I'm just going to sit back and you're going to hear a thing, and we'll talk in a second. Take a listen. Or maybe not. Hold on.
Tactical difficulties.
No, it's called. We'll skip over the ad, and then we're going to mute the ad, and then we'll go to the thing, because I didn't realize there would be a 30-second ad before the video played on WWE.com. So once that is done, we are going to play a thing that is kind of amazing from Thursday Night SmackDown. Why did I say Friday? It's because it was a thing for a while. From SmackDown tonight, featuring one of our favorite people in the world who decided to change his name for one night only on this edition of SmackDown, and that would be one Bo Dallas. So this is where we're queuing this up, making sure it's set, and we are going to hit play right after Dean's talking. Here we go. Take a listen.
Dallas, get it?
Yes, I get it.
And you weren't scared at all?
Nope.
Oh, come on, Renee. Halloween is no fun if you don't get to scare people. But I'm not one for giving up. Tonight, on SmackDown Halloween, somebody is getting scared. All you have to do is boo leave.
Boo leave?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boo leave. boo Nala's boo leaves. It was the greatest thing. He tried to scare Cesaro, and he actually did successfully scare Mark Henry, and then got punched in the face.
He was running around in a white sheet. It was amazing.
It was the greatest thing ever. Boo Dallas is a thing.
Yeah. This was just perfect. This was absolutely perfect. It added that little bit of comedy, and Bo Dallas being Bo Dallas, just, it worked.
That cheesy grin. Everyone needs to be scared on Halloween.
And just him walking around where it's like he tried to scare somebody, they'd look at him like, dude, F off. And then he'd walk off and be like, ooh, like making ghost noises and everything. Like, Bo was like completely unfazed. He was determined to scare somebody.
Yeah, it was his goal, and he did. He ended up scaring Mark Henry at the end.
And he got punched in the face for it.
And then he got punched in the face, yeah.
But he still scared somebody.
He did scare somebody. He scared the world's strongest man.
And then got punched in the face.
And then got punched in the face, yeah.
But yeah, so, but that's not the only audio we have. Is it?
No. So, this is not tying to SmackDown, but we'll tie it into SmackDown, because Bray and the Wyatt family were awesome tonight. But, this came from WWE.com, and they're doing, I guess, they've been doing ghost stories all month?
Yeah, they've had selected superstars come in and tell ghost stories, or encounters with ghosts. They've had Ambrose, they had, I think, Adam Rose.
Renee Young, Nikki Bella, I think Ziggler did one too?
Yeah, I think Ziggler did one.
But then the whole month winds up with one other person. His name is Bray Wyatt. And here is his story.
I grew up in South Central Louisiana. Abigail rescued me and my brothers and sisters. She took us to this cabin in the middle of nowhere. It was freedom. But even the greatest freedom comes at a price. She told us, beware the man in the woods, for he is real and he is the eater. So one day, me and my brothers, we take our slingshots and we go rabbit hunting like we do. We started to hear something strange. At first, we passed it off as a bear. And as time passed, the bear, or what we thought was a bear, started to get louder. Louder. And it let out these sad howls. And my brothers, they'd started to run. And I myself must admit, for a second, I was afraid, but I was more intrigued than anything else. I dropped my slingshot and I started moving closer and closer towards the sound. And I got so close at one point that the sound started to radiate in my ears and hurt. And that is when I saw it. He was about 7 foot tall, walking upright. No pigment in his skin. He was as pale as a pearl. He had thin yellow hairs running all the way down to his knees, and he was carrying an alligator with one hand dragging it across the beach line. I prayed that he wouldn't see me, and I said, Abigail, please, forgive me. Forgive me for not paying attention to you. And that's when he looked at me. His eyes were yellow like a cat. Still, I stayed frozen in fear. And it was just then, he reaches out his hand. And in the middle of it was my slingshot. And I started to run as fast as my legs could take me. I continued to run for what felt like an eternity. And finally, the cabin was back in my eyesight. I sprinted through the door, and I was in a panic. And I ran straight to Abby's room, and I said, Abby, I'm so sorry. And she said, baby, Bray, what is wrong? And I said, I saw him. I saw the man in the woods
I thought it was a lie, but you were telling the truth all the time. I'm so sorry. She said, baby, baby, baby. What did he say to you?
What?
He didn't say anything. Matter of fact, all he did, he looked right at me with his eyes, as if he was staring right through me. And he held out his hand at me. And in his hand was my slingshot. And inside, I was wondering, why is she so calm right now? And she said, baby, don't you understand, Bray? It's his slingshot, too. What? You are the man in the woods.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that is how the Eater of Worlds was born.
Okay, first of all, story time with Bray needs to be a thing every week. Every week. Need this.
Mm-hmm.
And put it on Thursdays. We talk about it every week. Perfect.
Be a perfect segment for the show.
Second of all, backstory. I know nobody cares about this kind of stuff. I'm personally really, really into it. I love to know what makes characters tick. I love it when they take characters and they make them more three-dimensional, make them more human. And Bray Wyatt is such a mysterious figure that any type of backstory, any type of information that we get on the character as a person, I get really excited for, because it makes that character that much more real to me. And I love that he just did the backstory here, where he just told a little bit of his past. Like, he really didn't give us anything, but I will say this, he put the biggest rumor to bed in terms of the character.
This is where I go, which was Wyatt?
Thank you! Thank you so much for cooperating. Which was that Bray Wyatt and Husky Harris are the same person, and they are not. Yes!
Wait, what? You mean Bray and Husky, they're not the same person?
They're not the same person.
How is that even possible?
Well, it's almost like they're two different people.
No, I don't believe this. They look the same, though.
Not really.
No, not really.
One is way more evil looking.
One, I remember, someone posted it out. I forget who it was. May have been Sam on Tumblr. Posted out the when Husky debuted. He does not look like Husky Harris at all. That person is dead.
And, yeah.
And officially it's been put to rest by Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a real subtle, hey, we're not the same person. Abigail found me, Abigail raised me, and this is who I am because of her, not because of anybody else. But what I liked was, while they closed that door on Husky Harris and all those potential storylines, I like that it opens more, because Rock and I were talking about this before the show, and it's, there are a lot of parallels between Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker. And you can tell a very similar story with Bray Wyatt that you have with The Undertaker, and it works. Actually, a lot of Taker's old storylines work for Bray. And I know it isn't fair to compare Bray to Taker, but Taker did a lot of really great things that they've never been able to really rehash just because of the sheer nature of the storylines.
Because it's very difficult to recreate something like that, and you need a special certain type of character to do it with.
Yeah, and Bray is that character. And one of them is that Abigail found Bray, she took Bray away, and she raised him. Well, then that opens the door that Bray Wyatt could have other family outside the cult elsewhere that could show up at any given time.
Because he mentioned that Abigail took him, his brothers, and sisters in, which opens up a lot of different possibilities down the line for future stuff.
Yeah, are they, you know, pseudo-brothers and sisters? Was he in a group home? Was he, you know, did she take him and his actual siblings away? We don't know. But it's just that little extra layer that, okay, well, this is how they found each other. We don't know exactly how they found one another, but Abigail found Bray. Abigail took Bray in and Abigail raised him. And I told Rock, I said, it's kind of interesting to think of Bray Wyatt as an innocent child. Innocent quotations. Running around the woods with a slingshot, and you look at him now, and you see the man that he's become, and you see Abigail's influence on him.
Pretty much, yeah.
You
see the demented side that's come out of him, the evil that has been bestowed upon him by her, or the monster that came out, that she brought out of him. It's very interesting to see. Very, very interesting.
But in terms of the actual promo, in terms of the actual thing that they did, I really liked him being out in the woods. And if you, you know, if you don't see this, basically the setup is Bray Wyatt is out in the woods somewhere. He's just in a beanie, his horn jacket, and a pair of jeans. And he's telling this story. And there's a comfort level there that you don't often see on TV with him, mm-hmm. where it's really more story time with Bray, where he's at ease, he's alone, he's in his environment, he's just sitting there and talking. And what I like is it's like that one thing where his reaction to things, because we don't often see his reaction where he's like, what? You know, just something like that. Something very simple like that where you get to see him as a person.
You saw a real emotion.
You saw real emotion from him, which you saw something real from him, which was with a completely worked story, but real emotion. And I just liked it. I liked this all the way around. I love how it was done.
I'm in total agreement with her on that one. This was very well done. It gives you this little insight into who he really is and how he's become who the man he's become. And it was very well done. And, you know, the other ones are just stories. You know, you don't really take much salt with them at all. Take them with a grain of salt is the phrase I was going for. But this one, it felt so real. You felt like you were hearing the character, and it was so perfect.
Well, again, it's his ability to talk. It's his ability to weave a story and tell a story and wrap the words around you and kind of pull you in with the words. And it speaks to his talent.
Oh, it really, really does speak to his talent.
And it was very well done. So it was worth calling out and mentioning that, hey, this was awesome. So if you haven't seen it, go to WWE.com. It's there right now. Watch it. It's absolutely fabulous.
Now, it's 39 minutes into the show, basically. A little bit less than that. And Lindsay's been really, really good without bringing something up. SmackDown also featured something else. And it started to show off with a promo. And in this promo, Bray Wyatt was sitting in his chair, which has magically returned in one piece. And he's sitting there on his lap with an object. What was this object?
Well, one, he was wearing the WrestleMania coat.
But I'm not talking about the WrestleMania coat.
It's part of it.
Okay.
I have restrained myself.
I know.
Very, very hardly, difficultly restrained myself. I'm talking about this. First, he was in the WrestleMania coat from when he faced Cena. Holy crap, he was in the coat. Second of all, the chair's back. And he did what he did to Taker to get the chair back.
He needed the ashes of the Taker to rebuild the chair because of Taker destroying the chair. Continue.
Because Taker burned Abigail's chair and Bray was just not going to have any of that.
So it's now Taker's chair now. Anyway, continue.
That's filled with Taker's soul.
That's a whole other story for another day.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. I was like, huh. We'll get into that at some other point. Anyway. Continue.
Is that blood on his leg?
Where is it? Part of the field? I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, so, and in his hands as he's sitting there talking and weaving his tail is one of my most favorite Undertaker artifacts ever, the hat. Bray sitting there with the Undertaker's hat in his hands where he tells everybody basically, Taker's mine. I own him. Lock, stock, and barrel. And then he flippantly tosses the hat aside.
Just casually.
Casually does it. Like, oh, he doesn't need this anymore. This doesn't matter. Tosses. And then he pulls out another Brothers of Destruction artifact. This one is slightly more important, as it's Kane's mask. And again, it's held up as a trophy before Braun takes it and tells everybody to run.
This is the best the Wyatt family has been booked in a long time.
Ever.
Very, very strong. They were a focus on SmackDown, beginning and end. You having people being fearful of the Wyatt family, which is good. And the Wyatt family has trophies now. Why do they have trophies? We'll tell you later when we talk Hell in a Cell. But they're doing some stuff now, and it's getting very intriguing, very interesting, and this is the kind of stuff that intrigues me about this show.
Yeah, I like how they're making them look badass. They're making them look strong. That ceiling's been removed for them, and they can book Bray Wyatt how they need to book Bray Wyatt, which is very maniacal, very evil. You know, most serial killers or anyone of that nature takes trophies. Bray's taking trophies. He's showing off his trophies, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
They're doing it right.
They're doing this right.
And I cannot wait to see where this goes.
With her. They're doing this well.
They are doing this well. But you know what we do well?
What's that?
We got a break.
Hey!
Kind of non-awkward tie-in. So when we come back, we are going to be talking about this week's exciting NXT. We'll let you know what happened with that. And later on, we're going to have Tweet of the Week and, of course, our recap of Hell in a Cell. So you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Keep the Addams Family. The house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. The teeth.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on the Addams Family.
There's only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/mbg1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, shoot. Flex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
the greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
And welcome back to Brack right here on the WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. If you're just joining us, we are doing our Halloween spooktacular. We're coming back with the Monster Mash, as only we should do. But now we're going to do something a little less spooky and talk about NXT.
Well, at times the show could be spooky.
True.
That is for sure. NXT this week opened up with Emma taking on Shaza, however you want to pronounce it. Girl from
Australian version of Alexa Bliss.
The Australian version of Alexa Bliss. This was the aggressive Emma being aggressive. Hard kicks, hard drop kicks. Really just making a point to be aggressive, that she was not afraid. She's not afraid of Asuka, which seems to be her next opponent coming up.
Which could be fun.
Could be a lot of fun. She was really aggressive putting on the M-lock, stopping on the back of the head of Shaza before locking it in for the win. This was a really nice showing by Emma. I thought it was impressive. She looked as aggressive as ever. And you need to see that side of her.
You do, especially going into a match with Asuka. Yeah. You need to make her look strong. You need to make her look confident and capable and all those things, which Emma is. So, very, very, very happy about this. Shaza didn't look too bad herself. Needs a little work, though.
Yeah, and that's why she, you know, came in for this shot. Maybe she'll become a regular NXT at some point. We'll see.
She could be the new Blue Pants.
She could be. That'd be a long flight, though. Always coming in from Australia.
That
would be really a long flight. We had a recap of the debut of the Cowboy James Storm from last week. Still weird,
yeah.
They showed the interview we talked about from WWE.com. Still cool to see him. Very weird to see him on NXT. Pretty much the case,
yeah. I don't have anything to add to that.
And then this is how I wrote it in my notes. We then had the How Awesome is Finn Balor video.
That's
pretty much what it was. They were showing how awesome Finn Balor was.
Like, they really need to emphasize that. We all kind of already know.
We kind of already knew that one.
Thanks for the reminder.
We had Ciampa and Gargano taking on Jordan and Gable. This was a really intense matchup, is the best way to describe it. There was a nice fighting bridge spot with Gable and Ciampa. There was a nice double running knees spot by Ciampa and Gargano. Again, really intense wrestling. Jordan got the hack tag at one point, did his best Kurt Angle impression, running wild. Gargano and Ciampa hit a double team counter back. Gable broke up the pinfall. We had the double team back suplex bridge by Jordan and Gable for the win. They worked a really intense, really fast-paced match. My only problem, it was good. Now, don't get me wrong. My only problem is, I don't know if this would ever translate, especially for, I don't expect this would have translated over on the WWE main roster. They would have to work a little bit of a slower style to really get over there. But for NXT, it worked. I like the pairing of Jordan and Gable. But again, I'm worried about Gable. If they ever get called up to the main roster, because I have worries about him.
Yeah, kind of the same way.
It's the best way to put it. It's his size. It's just, he's impressive for his size, but his size at some point will hurt him facing larger opponents. And when you look at the rest of the tag team roster in NXT and WWE, he is on the smaller side of things.
He is, but that's never stopped them from with small guys before, because Neville's not exactly big.
No, this is very true, but it just, I don't know, something, it just worries me. He's a great wrestler and all that, but it just, part of me just worries, that's all.
Yeah, I understand that.
We had a Bayley promo. She talked about how Alexis is mad at her for being a role model. Bayley talked about that, you know, Alexa's become different since she found her boys. And, well, Bayley will continue to remain the NXT Women's Champion. You were going to say something?
No.
What did you think of the promo?
Thought it was very good. Alexa being Alexa, Bayley being Bayley.
Yeah, we'll talk about Alexa here in a second because she cuts one in a minute. We had more of Eva in Paris.
Again, point.
In front of the Moulin Rouge.
Waiting for the jokes to come out about that. Because I know it's all red everything, but it's like, yeah, let's put her in front of a giant strip club and
hell.
Former brothel, you know?
As you do.
Like you do. I'm waiting for the jokes. I'm sure they were made, but yeah, it's like, I get why you're doing that, but that's probably not where you want to have her if you actually know what the Moulin Rouge is.
It's not just a fancy song done by Christina Aguilera and a bunch of other girls.
No, it's not.
Really? Really?
No. Yeah.
Though that was a good song.
Actually, what's interesting is that whole area right there is nothing but sex shops. Sex shops, porn stores, because it all leads, the Moulin Rouge basically leads up to Montmartre, which is the white church, which is the mountain where the white church is. I forget what it's called right now, but yeah, so basically you had to go through the red light district to get to the church. But yeah, the Moulin Rouge is nothing but like sex everywhere.
And here all along, not really. But it was just a Christina Aguilera song.
No.
No. Speaking of scary, from the tie in the beginning of the show, Nia Jax took on Kay Lee Ray.
She got better gear.
Still confused. Now the gear doesn't match the song.
Honestly, if I have to take my pick, I'd rather have better gear.
Again, very confused. I thought, anyway. She destroyed Kay Lee Ray. It's an awkward name.
Very efficiently.
Very efficiently. She caught her midair, spiked her. And then hit the leg drop, brother, for the win. With a smile.
Well, you know, like you do.
Enzo and Kaz came out for a match, but got attacked by Dash and Dawson. They went after the left leg of Big Kaz, which he's going to be out of action for a few weeks. With, I believe it was an MCL injury, if I remember correctly.
No!
So, hopefully he'll heal up soon. But yeah, Kaz is on the sideline for a little bit.
What's Enzo gonna do? That's one of his moves, is tagging Cass in.
Tagging Carmella? I don't know if that would work. I don't know if that would work. So, hey, they can get the wheelchair back and Cass can be in the wheelchair.
True, they could.
They could revert back to that. The Evil Sparkle Fairy talked to Regal and said our boys are challenging Bayley to a 6-person tag next week, and she questioned whether Bayley can find some people. So the question is, can Bayley find some people?
I think Bayley can find people.
You think?
Think, yeah. I'm pretty sure, you know, there might be some vaudevillains or, you know, some hype bros or...
Or something.
Or maybe even a demon that might want to help her.
Or even a demon that could help her. It's very quite possible. We're doing an early Tweet of the Week segment. Not really Tweet of the Week. But I have to mention some things that concern us. So NXT put out a tweet and, you know, Bayley responds to it. I like Sami Zayn. Are you better yet? And then she tweets Hideo Itami, what about you? Are you 100%?
I love that. That's so cute.
And Hideo's response was, interested? Oh, I love Bayley.
She's so cute.
Her cuteness comes off really well on Twitter, too. The innocence.
Yeah, it's more the innocence.
That was the word I was looking for, but I couldn't think of it off the top of my head for a second. It's the innocence right there, Bayley. We then had a special look at Apollo Crews, because they're hyping up the big match 6 weeks. Tyler Breeze in the main event took on Samoa Joe.
Great, great match.
It was a really good match. Tyler hit a big move and then posed on the ropes. Joe went, you really did that? You fool? Then Angry Joe came running after him. Joe hit him with a blindside dive on Breeze. Breeze was holding his own for a while. Joe made a comeback. He went for the muscle buster after screaming, is this what you wanted? Breeze escaped. Supermodel kick for a 2 count. Tyler with a roll up, but Joe escapes. Coquina clutch. Tyler Breeze taps out.
Great, great main event.
Really, really good. This was probably the end for Tyler. As soon down in NXT.
I don't know. They may take him to London.
They could. We had Finn Balor cut a promo, says he's excited about next week. Talking about Cruz is a real deal. Says he may be impeachable in the Battle Royal, but he hasn't beaten Finn Balor. And he won't become NXT champion next week. Chris Finn is keeping the belt. So good stuff all around.
Good stuff all around. By the way, if you want something awesome with Samoa Joe, go watch the latest Table for Three with Joe, Neville, and Bo Dallas. It's amazing.
One, Neville has an apple. Sincere eats the apple the entire time.
Instead of eating his dinner.
And they notice this, and they keep picking on him about it. And they also made fun of Neville's top button. You know, like you do.
And, you know, it's funny because it's like Neville and Bo know each other, and Neville and Joe know each other, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But Bo and Joe don't know each other. So it's like Bo's sitting there asking these awkward questions for like the first 5 minutes, and then they kind of get into it.
Yeah, the quote was, "You haven't lived the life of a top button."
Yeah.
And Bo steals Neville's cornbread. And
it's awesome.
And the best part was, he slapped his hand.
Yeah. Joe was like, "By the way, here in America, we don't let people take our cornbread." And Neville's like, "Oh, okay." And reaches to take it, and Bo's like, "No, mine now." And he bites into it, and he gets up, and he walks off. He's like, "Later."
And the one other thing that needs to be mentioned is the white group of rappers.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. The white group of rappers. Sami Zayn, Bo Dallas, Adrian Neville. There were a couple other ones, weren't there? I think there were a couple other people, and Xavier Woods, who was their manager. It's like, why is there not video of this anywhere?
Yeah, it's Bo, Neville, and Sami. With Xavier Woods.
Why is there not video?
I thought Bo and Neville would rap at the end. They didn't.
They thought about it, and then they're like, yeah, it's a little risque, a lot risque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very, very good. So that's NXT and the Table for Three recap.
Yeah, which is awesome.
But I say we take a break.
I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we will be talking Hell in a Cell. We'll give you the recap of who won, who lost, and who got kidnapped. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
Hell in a
Cell was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. That's, not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh my god!
I believe you changed his
pants to rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
Jay. I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming, just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And if you're just joining us, well, you're just in time, because this is our Halloween Spooktacular, and we are getting ready to talk about Hell in a Cell. But before we do that, Tweet of the Week.
I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Oh, right, I'm first.
Yes, you're first. Unless you want me to go first. I can go first.
No.
You sure?
Because I probably stole some of your tweets.
I don't think so. Maybe, we'll see.
Are you taking any shots tonight?
No.
Okay.
I'm looking.
So somebody.
I'm looking. I'm making sure. No, I don't. I didn't take any shots at the Cowboys. Even though it wasn't a great game for them. Neither was the Eagles, to be fair.
So somebody asked Kevin Owens, what is it like being IC Championship? To which he replies, great. I love being an inanimate object.
Thank you for grabbing that one. I figured you would.
Yeah. Wade Barrett, or I should say Lillian Garcia, tweets to Wade Barrett. Okay, Wade, I did what you asked by announcing Sheamus from Dublin, Ireland. Now pay up, buddy. To which Wade replies, you get double if you do it again tonight on Raw.
Did she do it on Raw? No, because they came out as a tag, right?
I think she did it. I don't think she did it on Raw.
No, I don't think their entrance made Raw.
So she might have done it. We may not have heard it.
We may not have heard it.
But Sheamus then replies, please note Lillian Garcia and the world, it's Dublin, Ireland. Only good thing to come out of England was at a loss.
Nice.
And finally, Sheamus, with this English fellow, Wade Barrett, for a few half shandies in Tampa. Yep, he looks stupid.
By the way, we saw Sheamus in the video game.
We did see Sheamus.
He does not glow.
He does not glow. I'm so disappointed.
Though, before we get into my tweets, video game is pretty awesome. Recommend getting the game. When we have time, I may do a review on this show. Probably next week. We'll have some time. I think that's a good idea. Show prepping. We'll talk about it next week, because I've shown Lindsay some stuff. We'll show her some more, and we'll have a review of it next week. Anyway, tweets. Ready? Good. Roflo. You know that guy, Robert Flores from SportsCenter. Guy, JBL always shouts out. Get ready, Roflo. Here's a highlight for you. Roflo. The Bills Jaguar stream is powered by leftover AOL disks. Scott Hansen, Bills offense, buffering. Someone named Charles Robertson, not the Charles Robertson from WWE. Maybe Bills will hold a raffle before the next series to let a local London fan play quarterback the rest of the game. Let's do it! Dave Lagan, think my Yahoo stream of Buffalo vs. Jacksonville skipping. Keep seeing EJ Manuel throw the same interception. It wasn't skipping. It was the same. He kept throwing interceptions. Brian McIntyre, Clark Griswold navigated the roundabout in European vacation better than EJ Manuel is navigating the Bills offense. Hashtag Big Ben, hashtag Parliament. WWE creativish, despite all the rage, WWE Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns are still just mid-carders in a cage. Hashtag Hell in a Cell. Thought that was a really, really creative one.
It was really creative.
Three-man booth. Come on, King. You thought there would be only two tables under a WWE ring? You know better. Hashtag Hell in a Cell. WWE creativish. Of all the endings in the history of the WWE, that was one of them. Hashtag Hell in a Cell. I think that was about the Ryback match. Keeping five-star Kyle Lewis. That entire locker room should be running out of there to help the Undertaker. Bunch of cowards. Cowards backstage. All of you. Three-man booth. The WWE Network should be devoted to finding the Undertaker right now. No breaking ground. Finding Taker. I'm with them.
I'm so in on this.
Kyle Lewis. Okay, guys. Here's how we go forward with hashtag finding Taker. Number one, get the Dragon Balls. Two, wish back Leslie Nielsen. Three, Leslie finds Taker again. He did a good job finding him last time. Mario DeRosa. What if the Wyatt family weekend at Bernie the Undertaker all around LA last night and they revealed the photos done on WWE Raw? That would have been awesome. Just have Eric and Strowman carrying Taker around. It would be amazing.
Don't drop him. Don't drop him. Don't drop him. Actually, he's more Braun trotting around behind everybody. I got the feet.
I got the feet. Keeping five-star Kyle Lewis. Becky Lynch is standing there, fighting the urge to make puns. Keeping five-star. Look at the heartbreak kid over here in her HBK attire. Hashtag PCB versus Bellas. It did remind me of HBK's gear.
A little bit.
Three-man booth. No riddles, Bray Wyatt. Where is the Undertaker? Hashtag Raw. If you want him, San Diego, he's not going to tell us where the Undertaker is. Raymond Booth continues. Where in the world is the Undertaker, San Diego? They were in San Diego.
They were, yeah.
That's a great tie-in. I didn't think of that till now. That was a great tie-in. Raymond Booth. Bray's going to try and consume the soul of the Undertaker, but it's going to be too dark for him. The Undertaker's done some things. Yeah, he has.
Some things?
Some things.
I think he's done a few more than just some.
Yeah.
When devil calls you sir, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. Tyler Breeze and Summer Rae look like they're on an episode of Singled Out. Yeah, they do. Yeah,
no hot tub, though.
No hot tub. Dolph, if you zig, Reigns is going to punch you in the mouth. Dolph, if you zag, Reigns is going to punch you in the mouth. Hashtag Raw, hashtag Fatal 4-Way. And finally, Linda Cohn, has KC moved to Mars? Hashtag Satellite Issues, hashtag World Series. That was very unfortunate that this truck blew and everything. Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
So now we're going to jump into the Hell in a Cell results.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we will.
And oh my, wasn't this an interesting pay-per-view?
This was a pay-per-view among pay-per-views. All right, pre-show. It was Team Europe, Sheamus, Barrett, and Rusev taking on Ziggler, Neville, and Cesaro. There was a nice corkscrew splash by Neville off the back of Cesaro onto Sheamus. There was a nice corner-to-corner uppercuts by Cesaro to Barrett. Nice cannonball off the apron onto Sheamus by Cesaro. We had the giant swing. Neville dove on the wrestlers. Red Arrow. Team Ziggler, Neville, and Cesaro win. Good match.
Very good match.
Cesaro was trying to make himself look a star.
He was. And he's succeeding.
He is succeeding. But this is where we go to the main show, and it's the John Cena United States Open Challenge for the U.S. title. John Cena taking on Jack Swagger? Because that's Zeb. So Swagger and Zeb are back together. All right.
Got the Real team. American Americans. All right. Oh, wait.
This guy looks Mexican. Why did Jack Swagger become Mexican?
In a surprise return that nobody saw coming. Good job, WWE.
Even though we all should have.
Well, because, alright, I'll just say it and then I'll get into it. Alberto Del Rio made his triumphant return to WWE to face John Cena in the US Open Challenge, which a lot of people were shocked, us included, because Alberto Del Rio, when he departed WWE, did not leave on good terms, basically told them to F off, has said they can F off in pretty much every other interview he's ever done since. Mm-hmm. And so, well, somebody got themselves a new contract for more money, less days kind of deal, because he's getting paid a lot of money.
$1.45 million downside guarantee.
That's a lot of money.
That's a nice chunk of change in less days, yeah. That's a nice little chunk of change right there for that man.
But it was a really nice surprise.
And here's the thing. We should have seen it coming because there's been rumors for a few weeks. Del Rio's coming back. They brought up his name. There's talk of him coming back. Oh, it's nothing. He's not coming back. Never going to happen. And lo and behold, there he is at the pay-per-view. I was surprised.
I think everybody was surprised.
Del Rio's now full-time. He's going back on the road. He probably won't be doing every house show in the world because he has limited less dates. He will be working. The plan is for him to work a couple more AAA events so he can drop his championship. When those will be, who knows, but it's going to happen at some point, maybe starting as early as Monday, but we'll have to see about that one. So Alberto Del Rio is back in WWE. It's good to have him back. Best way to put it. I'm glad he's back, I guess. I hope they do some interesting things with him because before he left, he got stale. So hopefully coming back, he's a little bit more motivated.
Well, there's more spots open, so they can do more with him. They can reestablish him better. They can book him differently than they had been. You know, it's the interesting... What's going to be really interesting about WWE moving forward, at least for the next couple months, is the ceiling's been removed. John Cena and Randy Orton are out, and they have to make new top stars. They have to do it.
Yeah, John Cena's going to be back early. He was supposed to be gone a little bit longer, but apparently they've earmarked the date in Boston when he's coming back. At the very early December, probably second week. Coincidentally, there's a thing where TLC happens in Boston that day. Conveniently, even though they may not promote the fact that he's going to be there. But that's the day he's being earmarked to return.
Interesting.
But yeah, so with John Cena gone, the spot is open for people to step up. And while Alberto Del Rio is now the United States champion after defeating John Cena here at Hell in a Cell.
Which way to go, Del Rio?
The match itself was just okay. It's the finish where it came like out of nowhere, sort of, is like he kicked him in the face. I didn't expect that to be the end.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to be the end either, but it was a nice end. I mean, the thing with it is that you knew whoever was going to go in and face him, they were walking away with the title because he's going to be gone for so long. So it's like, this was an automatic, okay, you know he's losing kind of thing. So I think it was more everybody was still trying to get over their shock that Del Rio was back.
Yeah.
Because I honestly don't remember the match. I just remember sitting here being like, where the hell did he come from?
Pretty much, yeah. And then things became a blur on the show. Now, this is where Lindsay goes, I'm not ready for this. I can't be ready for this. Why is this now? Why is this happening? And that's our next matchup. Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, inside Hell in a Cell.
Why was the second mention? Why? I mean, we said that they might go on early with this. Actually, I said that they were going to open the show, and you were like, no, they're not going to go on that early. They're never going to go on that early. Second match.
Hey, I was right about it, though. Wasn't the first one. They did not open the show with it.
But it was the second match.
I had them earmarked for around 9 o'clock. They went about 8:30.
So, yeah, this was a...
This was a really, really good Hell in a Cell.
This was a fun Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah. We had tables all spread out throughout the cage, which we'll talk about. Bray Wyatt at one point had a chair wedged in the cage, and I believe he was the one who got thrown into it. Yeah, he got thrown into it, even though that wasn't the plan. But one of the best spots in the match, and it's very early on, So kendo sticks have been brought out. Bray has, what, two of them at this point, I believe it was?
Mm-hmm.
And he has the chair before he wedges it into the cage. He's sitting on the chair, just poking at Roman. Hitting him, and then poking him. Hitting him, poking him. Hitting him, poking him. It was great. Like, he's just sitting there playing around with Roman Reigns, as the maniacal cult leader would do.
He's like, get up, come on, get up, fight me, come on, get up.
I dare you. He even wedges the two canes into the cage as well, which was creative. He did nice creative spots with the weapons. Mentioned table spots. There were a few.
There were a few that you were like, oh, God. Like the spike.
Yeah, the Uranage spike through the table, which was impressive.
And the table was on the floor. They were up on the ring apron.
Yeah, so he threw him down off the side of the ring through the table with the Uranage slam. The one other table spot that I remember, because I knew there was three, I only remember two off the top of my head. The third one, and we were counting tables. Okay, that one's gone, and it's like, wait, I was telling Lindsay, and this was a minute before it actually happened. They're gonna recreate that spot. They're gonna recreate the spot from Raw. And wouldn't you know it, Bray Wyatt was on the ring, they did it differently, but Bray Wyatt was on the ring apron, and Roman speared him off the side of the ring, through the table.
Which hurt like it, looked like it hurt. It looked like it hurt a lot. Like, yeah. Bray was like, you could see the exact moment Bray Wyatt questioned his life choices.
Yeah.
And that was that moment.
Yeah. This was a really good match. Roman kicked out of the Sister Abigail, which isn't surprising. And this overall really good match ends with the spear, but this was what you wanted. This was the match. Oh, now I remember the other one. It was the house show spot. The powerbomb through the table. That was the first table spot. Then you go, Bray's like, oh my God, why do I keep doing this, taking this bump?
Right.
But what happened, the finish was he put the Singapore canes into the turnbuckles, and we go, no, Bray, no, no, Bray, don't be stabbing people, no, Bray, Bray. And well, he got stabbed with the canes instead, and then ate the spear as Roman Reigns picked up the victory. This was impressive. Both men pulled out all the stops. Really, really good match.
This is how you do a Cell Without Blood. You tell a story, and you these two told a story. They both took their time with this. It wasn't rushed. They just did a really, really, really nice job with it. It was about 20 minutes bell to bell.
About 23 minutes total.
So, you know, good on them for it. Great match. It set a nice pace for the show, set a good precedence for Brock and Taker. They didn't overdo it. They didn't try to outdo Brock and Taker, but they did a nice job setting up the rest of the show where basically, okay, this is where we're going to take it. You guys have to finish it out kind of thing. Like, they didn't try to steal the show, but they did a very, very, very nice job with the match.
That they did. The tag team titles were on the line. New Day against the Dudley Boys. We had the Eddie Guerrero spot where, oh, there's a weapon, aka the trombone. Oh, yeah, I'm going to just act like I got hit with it. I'm going to throw it at Bubba Ray, and Kofi's going to fall down. And the referee almost thought about the squalifying him, and then realized, no, no. The trombone came into play. Kofi Kingston hits the Trouble in Paradise. 1, 2, 3, New Day retains. Solid match.
Solid match. I was still kind of trying to recover from Hell in a Cell, so I didn't really remember this match.
This one was hard to remember. Yeah, yeah. I had to go back and watch it because wait, what that? Okay, now I remember that stuff because it was like we were coming down off the high of the Bray Wyatt Roman Reigns match because we were into that one, really
yeah.
Into that one,
like yelling at the TV into that one.
That's exactly what we did. Divas title was on the line. Charlotte took on Nikki Bella. These two women had a really good match. Charlotte brings something good out, Nikki.
Charlotte makes Nikki step up her game, and that's not an insult of Nikki Bella. I'm very impressed with how Nikki has stepped up against Charlotte, because Nikki knows Charlotte is the future. Charlotte is coming up from NXT. They have to step it up with the women that are coming up now, because the women are not divas, they're wrestlers. And it's either put up or shut up, or get left behind. And if you want to stay relevant, if you want to keep moving forward, you have to keep up. And Nikki's showing that not only can she keep up, but she can kick ass while doing it.
Right, and the girls were physical with one another. They wrestled a really, really good match. The memorable spot is whatever they tried to do off the top rope.
Yeah, not quite sure what it was.
Not quite sure what it was, but it looked pretty cool.
Somebody watched Brooklyn.
Someone would try to watch, yeah, Charlotte. Well, Charlotte was there, so she watched Brooklyn. And went, hey, I can do something like that. I think it was a German suplex. I don't really know.
Nikki came off the top, and Charlotte did a flip, and nobody was really sure what it was.
At one point, I thought it was the natural selection move she does, but it wasn't that. It was something. Anyway, Nikki got out of the figure four at one point. She goes for the rock attack, but got countered. She turned into the figure eight. Charlotte retains.
Nice. Nice match on their part.
Which had Becky and Paige come out and celebrate, and we all saw what happened where Paige turned on Raw.
No shock there.
No shock there. Roman Reigns basically looked like he was headed to the title picture, which he clearly is, based off of Raw. And we then had the WWE Championship match, Seth Rollins, Kane.
Great match.
This was a solid, solid match between two. The one memorable spot, and it's memorable for all the wrong reasons, was the attempted powerbomb through the table by Seth Rollins to Kane, where Kane hits sort of the table and the side of the table, and we all went, ow.
Yeah, basically the corner of the table, in terms of where the top meets the front side, went into Kane's back.
Because Seth Rollins couldn't drive him through the table.
Yeah, it's like, good on Seth for trying a powerbomb, but yeah, he just did not have the force, and it wasn't high enough for Kane's weight to take over to break the table.
Yeah.
So you know that hurt.
Yeah. Props to Seth Rollins. He is now has the prettiest frog splash in the business.
Yeah, he does.
He gets some height on that thing.
Someone's been practicing.
That CrossFit. He did the couple flying knees to Kane, and then ends up hitting the pedigree for your win. Seth Rollins retains the WWE Championship.
Again, no shock.
No real shock there, no.
But great match. Solid effort by both men.
Intercontinental Championship match was there, as Kevin Owens beat Ryback.
We were all very grateful it was short, quick, to the point.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all I can say on that one. And then we got it. Hell in a Cell. Brock Lesnar, Undertaker. First things first. The number 3 minutes and 18 seconds is from Gong to Store Slam for The Undertaker.
Yep. And actually, that wasn't even the end of his entrance. His entire entrance is probably close to 4 minutes.
Well, yeah. I stopped counting at the door slam, and then his music continues like, oh, I can't restart my thing. Oh, well, we'll do it next time. Our goal is to see how long he takes in that mania. That's our next mission, isn't it?
Yes, that's our next mission.
To time that entrance.
Time it out. Figure it out.
Yeah. So this was a really good match. Here's the funny thing about this match. So early on, Brock goes face first into the ring post. And the announcer's going, he got his hands up. He blocked most of the shot. 30 seconds later, you see Brock Lesnar's busted open.
Which, honestly, it doesn't take that much to bust Brock open, especially on his forehead.
No, but that was the spot to do it. But because where the camera was positioned, it showed he got his hands up slightly, and they had to call it like he got it up, but that's where he got busted open on. And then they had to backtrack on commentary. So, Brock is bloody. They go fighting. A doctor runs in and cleans up Brock. Brock's like, oh god, why is the doctor in here? It's like, oh god. So this match was really physical. Taker got thrown around in the cage a bunch. They were really aggressive with one another. Taker got busted open. As we mentioned, Brock was busted open. Doctor came in the second time. Brock just shoved down the doctor the second time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is not a smart thing to do.
Well, no, it's more like, get out of the way, you're interfering in the match, just move.
Thank God the doctor was wearing black pants, because if you're told by Vince McMahon, go run out there and clean up Brock Lesnar, but it's Brock Lesnar and he's fighting. I'm going to pee a little, then I'll go out. But no, would you want to get in that animal's rage?
No.
Okay, then. So, we had some really physical stuff between the two. The canvas gets pulled up, exposing the boards. We had a choke slam on the boards. We had a tombstone on the boards. Brock gets out of the tombstone, kicks out of the tombstone, and then turnabout is fair play. So when Undertaker came back, what was this thing to do? He did the old man kick into the nuts, right?
Not quite. Somebody got kicked in the nuts, or rather armed in the nuts, but it wasn't Brock.
No, I'm saying that was what Taker's move was, to kick it to the nuts.
Yeah.
Well, Brock returned the favor, uppercuts the nuts.
And, well, poor Taker, the Devastator, is wounded.
The Devastator has been taken out of commission for a little while.
Man down.
Man down. F5. 1, 2, 3. Your winner, Brock Lesnar, in a bloody brawl, which we didn't think they would be able to recreate. But they recreated. They stepped up their game 13 years later and pulled off the best match Taker's had in forever. This was great. I was worried going in, then they stepped up, hit this one out of the ballpark.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. It's been the best match probably since Taker and Hunter went in the cell a couple years ago.
That's exactly what I said on the show Sunday. That has been his best match since.
You know, he trained right for this. He looked good. He didn't take anything too harsh. At the same time, he was bumping where he needed to bump. And it was actually a relatively safe match, all things considered. The only real dangerous part was obviously that both men got cut open the hard way, in quotations, because I think that's still under investigation.
No, that one, that's sure they got. It was the hard way.
Doesn't mean Vince likes it any less.
No, Vince doesn't like it, but at least they didn't blade, which means they would get fined.
But yeah, great showing by Taker. Awesome match by Taker and Brock. They told that story, and in the end, Taker kind of gave Brock that little bit of respect, where it's like, okay,
I got it. He's like, God damn it, and he's wagging that finger like, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it.
It's like, I got you. I had you. I know I did. And I messed up.
I left myself wide open, son of a bitch. You got me. You got me. So yeah, the pay per view ends with The Undertaker laying there. So that's Hell in a Cell recap for you.
Not quite.
Wait, something else happened?
Something else happened as the cage raises and Taker struggles to get to his feet. Well,
but yeah, which was really, really like, what are they doing here? What's going on?
Is this? Yeah, it's like, why are they showing Taker struggling to get up? Can we not do this, please? I hate watching that part. Please don't show him like that, because it's so hard to watch.
The announcers were willing him on. Come on, let's all cheer him on. Let's will him to sit up. And he finally sits up, and then he falls back down.
Yeah, and there's thank you Taker chants, and because I think everybody legit thought that this was his last match.
The way that they stood there for a while, making you believe it was, because I was like, something's happening here. Something's happening.
Yeah, it's like you're waiting for the shenanigans to happen, and then, well,
Taker does his pose. He gets up, does his he does his little pose, and then all you hear is and out walk the Wyatt family.
And this is the moment where Rock and I were both like, holy crap, because we called this. So whoever did it, mole.
We talked about it. We talked about what had to happen, and they started the setup at Hell in a Cell. We didn't call them pulling and taking them back to the house, but we said we booked this. We booked this right. So the Wyatt family surround the ring, and Bray sends his troops into battle. Taker starts to fight them off, but the numbers game catches up to the Undertaker.
Oh, let's just be realistic. Braun Strowman caught up to The Undertaker.
Okay, Braun Strowman caught up to The Undertaker, and he gets taken out. They all get their shots in. They all get their knees and kicks and boots and fists in, including Bray Wyatt. And then what did they do? Oh, they carry him off.
They drag the carcass back to the house. It's like, and you sit there and you watch it, and you're like, oh, damn, that's awesome.
And it was very Ministry of Darkness-esque.
Yes, it was.
Because they had, you know, Taker, you know, you had Braun with the legs and Luke and Eric holding up the arms, and Taker's body's just stretched out with Bray Wyatt walking in front laughing maniacally and smirking like he does. Like, oh my god, I got the Undertaker. I have the Undertaker.
I succeeded.
He is mine. Wahaha. This was an epic, epic close to the show. I told Lindsay, I left her this message. So, they should get the Wyatt symbol and put the Undertaker on the Wyatt symbol.
And now I have this whole, like, image in my head of what a Wyatt altar would look like. That I'm trying to figure out how to draw out. But yeah, this was a really, really, really well done spot. It made Bray look great. It made the family look great. It was a nice way to potentially write Taker off of TV. At least until he agreed to go to England. And then do Survivor Series in November.
Mm-hmm.
Because they also announced on the show that they were doing a 25-year celebration for Taker at Survivor Series in Atlanta. And I'm going, somebody's going to have to hold me down. Because Taker and Bray are potentially going to be in the ring together. And this is just going to get ugly. But...
yeah. And they announced that during the show. We were like, wait, what are they doing? Wait, what?
And that was the other part where we were like, Mole! Because we had talked about that too, of Taker showing up at Survivor Series, and it's like, maybe he will, maybe he won't, who knows? And then it's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's going to be there. Oh yeah, he's going to be there. So, very, very, very exciting stuff. And then, as we know, as of Monday, well, Bray Wyatt also kidnapped Kane.
Yeah.
So, wherever this is headed, whatever they're doing, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns are the focus right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of okay with that. Just pointing that out.
So that's Hell in a Cell.
That's Hell in a Cell. So, do you want to gloat, since I believe you won in Pick'em?
Between the two of us and the 8-Ball, I went 6-2, you went 5-3. The only match we differed on was Brock versus Taker.
And I just wanted Taker to win. That's the only reason I went against it, is I wanted Taker to win.
You tied with the 8-Ball.
But you know what? I will take what happened over Taker winning, because it's leading to bigger and better things for the Wyatt family. So
I would agree with that. But that should do it for us tonight.
I think so. So we have some plugs, so plug away.
This has been the Halloween Spooktacular. And speaking of spooktacular, the CB Radio Spooktacular this Saturday night on Halloween, live midnight-ish on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Somebody's supposed to sing.
Oh, God.
I'm supposed to. He was supposed to actually... record it, and then I could put music behind it, but he hasn't sent it in yet, so we'll probably be doing it live, which makes it all that much more better. CB Radio, the Halloween Spooktacular, Saturday night, midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at CB Radio Live, Facebook.com, so CB Radio Live, CB Radio Live.com, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, WTR Sunday Night with Tim Stein, Mason Omega at 10 p.m. Eastern, recapping the week in pro wrestling at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter. Monday Night Raw poster 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back right here for another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show. RackRadioShow.com is the website. Get the show on iTunes, search for The Rack. We're a Rack Radio Show. Get us on Stitcher the same way. You get us on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network. Get the network stuff on TuneIn or on iTunes and Stitcher, search Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LINSWRD, and go to my website, psychwardesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay, and this has been The Rack Halloween Spooktacular. Everybody have a fun and safe Halloween if you celebrate it. If not, have a great Saturday, everybody. But we'll see you next week, right here for The Rack. Bye!